Mini episode 785 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 785. Your favorite football talkers anywhere are back with you this week. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking the town in the FDH Lounge. It's NFL Week 13. Last week was a pretty good week for me, at least on the overall tally. 9-6-1, putting me at 84-84-9 for the year. 2-0-1 on my big three. A stinky 12-21-2 for the year. 1-0 on my lock, bringing me to all of 2-11 on the year for my lock picks. Kyle at 1-3, 28-34, looking to get this thing turned around in the final third or so of the season, as I'm sure that we will. And Kyle, it is great to have you back in. I understand that you have become a real estate mogul here with the new Trump boom the last couple of weeks. That's why we haven't been able to do some stuff here together. But congratulations on your successful real estate work, my friend.
The Trump boom? Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. Hey, and I'll be honest with you. I very rarely give any president credit or as much blame as they usually wind up getting from the media for the economy. Usually, you know, they're lagging behind. I mean, I'm the first guy to say Bill Clinton, very overrated, didn't deserve half the credit he got for the economy. Don't give me Donald Trump sold my house, okay? Let me tell you something. All right? Yeah, I may be moving, okay? I'm currently, by the way, sitting in a car outside of a gym. Okay, that should tell you where I'm at. And I spend my afternoons trying to pick fights with the president-elect on Twitter. So that's where I'm at.
Well, better than the usual spot, right? Isn't the usual spot a van down by the river, so to speak?
Well, yeah. I don't think, you know, it's been some tough times. You know, last Saturday afternoon, maybe I said some things that I shouldn't have said after a certain college football game, but I don't think I've ever gotten so lonely where I've been in a van down by the river.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. Nor will you in the near future in your beautiful new abode with the missus. So we all congratulate you on that. And, again, a small price to pay for doing a couple of these shows with you here in recent times. But things are going to be picking up for you and I. I know that we both have a better feel on things as we head into the last third or so of the season here. So looking forward to see how it all shakes out with our analyses this week.
Yeah, for sure. My picks have not been great this year. It's been very frustrating. But as you kind of mentioned, you know, my power rankings, I think, are a little bit tighter. And I think we know who these teams are 12 weeks into the year. So, ready to go.
All right, here we go. The Thursday nighter, as per usual, we're just going to gloss over because we're going to get this up right around showtime. This is going to be an uncharacteristically good Thursday night game, at least by the standard of how crappy the games are on Thursdays. The 10-1 Cowboys at the 6-5 Vikings, renewing that old 70s rivalry. Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, and Tafoya on the call. Cowboys laying 3, up from 2.5 initially. And a game where, again, Mike Zimmer will not be on the sidelines for the Vikings tonight. Thoughts and prayers to him with the eye surgery that he underwent. And I don't know that this necessarily ties into where I was going with this game anyways, but I have, and I realize that I tend to be a bitter clinger in the political parlance here on some of my things. I've been figuring that time is about up for this Cowboys winning streak for the last couple of weeks here. I haven't been right. I think the time is up tonight. Your time is now, Minnesota Vikings, so to speak. And I think that, again, the pass rush that they're going to be able to bring to bear, plus the strength against the run. The Cowboys we've seen can make adjustments as they did against Baltimore. But this defense for Minnesota, they're playing for their coach tonight. Little extra impetus, maybe. I will take the home dog Vikes in this one. Not a recommended play, not one of my big three, but I'm on the Vikes.
It's a good line right here. It's what I would make the line at 3. You know, we have seen one Thursday night home team go without their head coach this year. Denver, they lost outright to San Diego, if you recall. Actually, I think that game might have been in San Diego. Now that I think about it, yes, that game was in San Diego. I apologize. I know what you're saying about Minnesota's defense, but God, is their offense awful. If you can guarantee me Stephon Diggs is going to play, I'll be a little bit more interested. But Sam Bradford sucked so bad on Thanksgiving. I just view these teams as trending in very opposite directions. I do not think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs. By the way, that regression that I've been calling for all along has finally hit with them. They don't cover anymore after at one point covering 18 of 21 games. Dallas is my number one rated team in the league. They absolutely have justified all the positive press about them. Their offensive line is great. Elliott was a great pick. Dak Prescott doesn't make mistakes. But I'm not going to take the road favorite, despite the fact that I'm pretty confident Dallas is going to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they won by a field goal. Exactly, right on the dot.
I'm not surprised by that because, again, this would be a tough one to really call out on that kind of a limb and try to make that kind of a pick here. But Dallas is also my number one team in the power rankings right now. Would not have believed it at the beginning of the year, particularly under the circumstances. But as they say, hey, that's why they play the games. And the way that the games have played out, certainly they deserve it thus far. And they are on pace, certainly, to be the number one seed in the NFC as we continue on through this season.
Oh, yeah.
Up next, yeah, no question about that. They're right there, and Seattle blew a good look at trying to take it away from them last week. This is a week where, and I've not been able to say this for a while, there are a number of really good, really intriguing matchups of likely playoff teams or bubble playoff teams, as the case may be. The first one we're going to examine for Sunday fits that bill to a T. It's the 8-3 Chiefs at the 7-4 Falcons, 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta on CBS. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. This is a game where Atlanta is laying 3.5 down from 4 at the open. And this is one where, again, I really went back and forth on this one. And a number of the games this week are just really very difficult to get a handle on. I ended up in many instances deferring to the favorite as I am here because this is a circumstance where, again, the Chiefs have had a couple of really tough games the last couple of weeks. They're coming off of a 75-minute game on Sunday night against the Broncos, a dispiriting loss the week before to a rising Tampa Bay team from this very same division. Now they have to travel east again to take on the Falcons. It's a rough stretch for them, and I think that it might be asking a little bit too much for them to be able to bounce back on Sunday. I'm on the Falcons laying the 3.5 here.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked by how many people I've been reading are calling for the upset here. Atlanta's the better team and at home, and that's built into the line. So once again, two games in, we've got two really good lines by the odds makers, I think. So I'm not making a recommended play. But I'm going to point this out. If I did play this one, I would go Atlanta, and I'll tell you why. Kansas City, despite winning last week, outgained significantly by Denver. They've won a number of games this year where that's happened. I believe against Jacksonville that was the case as well, where they won close, but were outgained by at least over 100 yards. So I don't think they're necessarily as good as people think. Do they end up as the number two overall seed in the AFC? I wouldn't be surprised, but their defense is very bend but don't break. They're one of those defenses that rank high in scoring, but a little more pedestrian when it comes to yards allowed. So, they, you know, give them credit. They hunkered out in the red zone, but I kind of think they should have lost last Sunday night. And, you know, Atlanta dominated Arizona. Atlanta looks real good this year and is one of the better teams in the league. So this is weird. I would actually lean to a lot of favorites this week, and Atlanta I would lean to, but they did not make my cut. Because I think the line is
tight. That's how I'm looking at it. The only thing I will say, and it might be a little unusual for me to play devil's advocate against my own pick here, when you're talking about the Chiefs, I think any Kansas City fan would tell you right now that the defense is getting fully healthy for the first time all year and that their bend-but-don't-break nature has been sort of adapting to that. So, you know, in getting these guys back in there, Justin Houston, et cetera, at full speed, that may have something to do with it. But, yeah, it's going to be that's going to be a fun one to watch. This is going to be a great week to have red zone, no question about it. And the next game is another example of that as well. Two teams that may not be that legit, quite frankly, but they're on the playoff bubble and they got a lot to play for. It's the 6-5 Texans at the 5-6 Packers. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Lambeau Field in Green Bay on CBS. The A team of Nance, Sims, and Wolfson on the call for this one. Green Bay is laying 6.5 up from 4.5 initially. And this is a tough one, and I'm going against a certain gut instinct here because, again, for much of the year, and the Packers being the team I picked to win the Super Bowl, they have been way south of what I expected of them and, quite frankly, not as good as I thought they were going to be. I can't say that it's anything other than them kind of getting exposed as not being at the caliber of where myself and a lot of people thought that they were. But what we are seeing right now, even though, again, it's fashionable to crap on Aaron Rodgers with both butt cheeks, so to speak, but, again, I don't know that I've seen a game recently where there is such a chasm between quarterbacks because Brock Osweiler, this just in, is a national disaster right about now. Expecting him to go on the road against the Packers, he is. And I just have so little faith. This is a guy who, from a fantasy standpoint, has managed to make Hopkins a pedestrian wide receiver. Think about that, and think about what Hopkins got done with some of the various chodes who are throwing the ball in his direction the last couple of years, and it's Brock Osweiler who has brought him statistically to his knees. That's my bottom line. I'm on the Packers here just because I don't think that the Texans can muster 10 points at this point against the Packers.
A couple things. Have you ever crapped with one butt cheek? Because that's kind of impressive.
No, probably not.
Just using one. I was gonna say, usually for me, I gotta kind of get the whole operation going there. But anyway, I digress.
Touché.
Yeah. Speaking of crapping with one butt cheek, the Houston Texans offense has got buyer's remorse, I think is the term that would be very apropos with Brock Osweiler. I am a very angry DeAndre Hopkins Santa Fe owner. I think, kind of his sucking is going to cost me a shot at the playoff. I'm actually already eliminated going to the final week, believe it or not. We're in kind of a top-heavy league this year. But
sorry to hear that.
I would really want to take Houston here because the line move, because I had seen that 4.5 before the Monday night game kicked off. And then I saw it get adjusted to 6.5 when Green Bay looked really good, the best they'd looked in a long time against Philadelphia. And I was like, what a knee-jerk reaction to a national TV win. But then I kind of thought about it. I'm like, this line's kind of where it should be anyway. You know, Green Bay, their stock was a little probably too down going into that Packers game, or Eagles game, I should say. Although, I want to say something right now. These teams might both be in playoff contention. Neither is in my top 20. I want to point that out right now. Houston, okay. I have them, I think, 26. Really, I mean, they're really bad. So I'm going to refrain. I wanted to take the points here. This is one of the spots I wanted to, and maybe, Obama era Kyle would have taken the points. But I'm not going to do it here because I have no faith that they'll win this game. And if you take the underdog, you want to have some faith that they'll win. And I believe the Houston Texans are a fade team mainly down the stretch.
So making America great again, Kyle, is going to hold off on this game. Okay, that makes sense to me. The 5-6 Eagles at the 3-7-1 Bengals. I'm going to go out on a limb. I think this might be your first play, but I'm just guessing. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati on Fox. Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, Peter Schrager on the call. The Eagles in this game are laying 1.5 up from a pick'em initially, and it's a situation now where, again, the Bengals are another team I was wrong about this year, and my record has been dragged down by expecting them to bounce back at various points during the season. I have thrown in the towel, as they clearly have as well. Have you seen Cincinnati recently? And again, the injuries that they're suffering on offense recently, Green, Bernard, et cetera, it's not a pretty picture there. Andy Dalton is left to sort of live off the land, as it were. But they're in such disarray. I basically, by default, am on the Eagles, even though, again, I've been saying for a good part of the year, I think they're not as good as their record. And even 5-6 being a mediocre record, I think the Eagles have really been exposed over the last 6 weeks or so here. But I'm still taking them basically by default.
Who did you think I was going to take here?
I think you're going to take Philly. Am I right?
No, I'm actually not playing this game. I wanted to take Philly. What is the – so, again, I'm just for if you're just joining the program, I am sitting in a car right now in the middle of the old neighborhood. But so I don't have my laptop in front of me. What's the line here? Because when I looked earlier today, I had seen the Bengals had actually been bet the role of favoritism.
Have they? All right. I'm going to check this here in real time, so to speak. And
okay.
But my point is, you're right. You're right. The move on this, yeah, I'm wrong about this. This is one where the Bengals are actually in the role of a home favorite here, which only makes me all the more steadfast on this. So I'm on the Eagles getting points then.
I want to join you, but, you know, Philly burned me last week. I want to say this about the Eagles and their record. They actually have a top 7-point differential in the league, which is stunning. Mm-hmm. Until last week, all of their losses had been very, very close, and their wins had been very, very big. But here's the issue with the Eagles. I thought they'd be really bad before the year. They clearly exceeded expectations, and I just don't know where we're at with them. And the same thing with the Bengals. I'm leery to go against them because what if they do kind of have that one get-off-the-mat game? So as much as my numbers completely disagree with this line, I think the Eagles should actually be a fairly significant road favorite in this spot. I'm going to wimp out and pass.
Yeah, I understand that because that's my little bit of a misgiving about going against Cincinnati because there are teams – the Browns in past years when they've been capable of winning a game or two have been that team that screw you when you're sure that they're down and out and they win seemingly just to stick a thumb in your eye. Cincinnati could be this team in this spot, which, by the way, mercifully, forgot to cover this at the outset of the show, mercifully the Browns are on the bye this week. Cue your Browns figure out a way to lose the bye week jokes. The Browns and the Titans on the bye for week 13, an unthinkably late time in the season for teams to be on the bye, but it is what it is, I suppose. Up next, it is the 7-4 Lions at the 5-6 Saints. Talk about two teams, at least on the periphery of playoff contention, as it were, periphery in the case of the Saints. 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and past lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call for this one. And in this game, the line is the Saints laying 6 up from 4.5 initially. And in looking at this game here again, I have to give a little bit of a mea culpa as I'm talking about being wrong about teams this year. I'm not here to tell you that the Saints overall are a good team because this defense, while improved, again, we're talking in relative terms, folks. We're talking about not being a CFL defense anymore, okay? So let's just, you know, check ourselves on giving credit to the defense, which I think is still below average for the NFL, but for not killing this offense and the offense that has still been playing at a very high level this year. This is basically almost a why ask why line for me. I am taking the Saints in this one just because one would think the Lions would be getting a little bit more respect than this, coming off of that stirring win on Thanksgiving. And, again, having a 7-4 record at this point. Although I want to say this. I have the Lions, I forget where at the moment, 7 or 8 in my power rankings. By the way, they can all be found at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. But here's the thing. I say that to emphasize that there is a monstrous break, I think, between the top tier and the second tier. I've got the second tier going like from 7 or 8 down to like 25. So to me, the Lions are at the top or near the top of an extraordinarily mediocre stack right now. So that's one of the other reasons I don't have a problem going against them in this game. So it's kind of a why in terms of what I would think the public perception would be on being more bullish on the Lions. And part of it is I think this is exactly the kind of a game that the Lions can lose because they're not nearly as good, I think, as their record indicates, notwithstanding where I have them in the power rankings. They're just there in my power rankings because somebody has to take up that spot. There's really nobody worthy of like 7 or 8 right now, Kyle.
I have the Lions, I think, 19th in my power rankings. Again, I'm sitting in a car, so I don't know. But, I mean, I have them low, and I'm not surprised by this line. Pre-line move, and this is, I think, sharp money that moved this line. Make no mistake about it. It moved pretty early on the Saints, like real early. I remember looking at it because I had jotted down. I'm like, you know, I know Detroit has that record, you know, and the public is going to fall for them. But, you know, I think smarter minds know better than the Lions. This is a team that's trailed in every fourth quarter this season, a massive overachiever. The Saints really aren't overachieving. They just, you know, I have them 11th in my power rankings, believe it or not, which feels a little too high. I'm maybe willing to sell on them, but not this week. I'm passing because, you know, the spread has gotten up to where I kind of thought it should be now. You know, at the initial line, I would have laid it, believe it or not, with New Orleans because Detroit was very lucky to win on Thanksgiving. And, you know, quite frankly, they've been lucky to win a lot of times this year, whereas New Orleans, when they win a lot, it's been by pretty big margins.
Right. There's no doubt about that. They've been very, very explosive offensively. a concept that does not apply to these next two teams here this week. This is almost sort of like what the universe dictates. When you've got this many good games and good to decent teams playing each other, you end up having a suck combination like this one. The 1-10 49ers at the 2-9 Bears, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Soldier Field in Chicago on Fox. Five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, Daryl Moose Johnston, and the lovely Tandora Oakman have been sentenced to watch this piece of crap. This is a game where, and again, I don't know what they ever did to deserve this. We talked about the Cowboys and the Vikings earlier bringing back echoes of the 70s and renewing their rival. This is not going to make anybody remember the great 49ers-Bears games of the 80s, I assure you. This is one where Chicago is laying 1 point down from 3 initially. And much as I hate to have to go this way, based on the politics of the jerk that I'm about to mention here, when you look at the offenses here, when you look at what the 49ers have been able to muster offensively, when you look at defensively, the job that they have been able to do, a little bit improved in recent weeks, not allowing J.H.I.E. to go off on them nearly as much as you might think. I think the 49ers are primed for an upset here. I certainly would like to see it as a Browns fan because my nightmare is both the Browns and the 49ers are at 1-15, and the Browns have pissed away the number one pick by doing that. This is a game that could clinch the number one overall pick for the Brownies, and I think it will. Give me Frisco getting the one.
How much do you think that's impacted the Browns? I've thought of that too. Like, I'm not going to be a guy who's going to come on here in hot take mode and start accusing a team of tanking, but, like, the Browns, despite what we see on the field, I think maybe have a bit of a sharper front office this year than we're used to seeing from them. You know, in years past, they have screwed themselves with a late win and, you know, hurt their draft order. Do you think, like, you know, because there was that Baltimore game on Thursday night where it seemed like they were kind of doing okay, and then they made the quarterback change and went in the tank. I mean, do you think that they've kind of got an eye with they're kind of waiting for the 49ers to win game number two? So they can maybe give
could
a little
be.
Bit better of an effort.
I
would also
could
like to say,
so I have reasons to hope for the 49ers to win, so that's not the case.
Are these your 30th and 31st ranked teams?
They are indeed. I do have a line underneath the Bears, though, having said that. I have the 49ers and Browns as being worse, which is a little counterintuitive with the pick that I'm making here. I think situationally San Francisco is at higher tide than the Bears are, but I think through the course of the season, clearly the Bears, as horrible as they've been, have been decently better than the Niners over the course of the year.
Yeah, they beat the Lions, believe it or not.
Yes.
But we should point out that the esteemed Matt Barkley will be again going for the Bears.
Right.
I'm not taking San Francisco as a virtual pick on the road. Although I, unlike you, have just such tremendous respect for Colin Kaepernick off the field. Although recently some of his comments were a little silly about Phil Castro and literacy. Come on, Colin, let's maybe stay in your lane here a little bit. But, you know, as I watched him lead an almost game-winning drive last week against Miami, I'll tell you what, it brought back memories of a Storman Norman or a George Patton, I think, you know, leading the troops.
Well, it was great to see Kiko Alonso, the son of brave Cuban exiles, give him the spear to the kidneys that he had coming for his ignorant comments. So I was very happy about that. So up next, we have the 4-7 Rams.
That was not the sharpest thing that Colin Kaepernick said.
No, it wasn't. And again, as much as I might hate to agree with any takes that alt-right Barbie has had to say in her broadcasts about Colin Kaepernick, I guess it is what it is.
Don't you start with her, okay? She's a Johnny football sperm bank special, okay, pal?
Oh!
I agree with what Kaepernick had been doing initially, but, you know, he probably maybe should read on Fidel Castro before he speaks about it.
Surprised to hear that from a man of the left, but moving right along, it's the 4-7. I'm starting to think maybe you didn't graduate from the OU School of Political Science with a take like that. It's the 4-7 Rams at the 9-2 Patriots, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on Fox. Kevin Burkhart, John Lynch, and a delicious Pam Oliver on the call. This is a game where the Patriots are laying 13 points down from 13.5 initially. And, again, this is one of these things of one of the best teams in the league, one of the worst teams in the league. You're going to get that wide-ass double-digit spread. You talk about teams that could muster up an effort just to kind of like spite you as a gambler. I've talked about that a lot with the Rams. I think we saw it a lot more when they were in St. Louis than we've seen it this year, but this feels like another one of those spots. If ever there's a coach, if ever there's a team that's going to get that annoying backdoor penis-punching cover, it's going to be the dumb stash Jeff Fisher, and I think this is going to be that spot here right now. New England has just been a little underwhelming at times over the last couple of weeks. Certainly saw it against the Jets. And going back to games in December last year against Miami, I don't know if it's a question of focus with the playoffs coming up, but the Patriots have not played at the level consistently of a team that would be giving up 13 points, even to somebody as bad as the Rams. As such, I'm on L.A.
We should point out no Gronk for the Patriots here.
Okay.
It came on. I actually, believe it or not, one of the benefits of sitting in a car here outside this gym is I was just in said gym and had the TV on while I was trying desperately to lose weight. This just in: if you eat tacos three times a day, you're going to put on weight. They announced that Gronk is undergoing back surgery. He's going to be out for 2 months, which is a huge blow to the Patriots. You talk about complacency. I don't really blame him when you see the fact that it seems like a foregone conclusion. They're going to be the AFC's top seed. I don't see who in the hell is going to catch them. I really hope, the Rams don't win this game. I know that sounds ridiculous when you look at the line, but Scott Kaxmir of Football Outsiders, who I really, really like, is like, wouldn't it just be the shits if, Jeff Fisher won this game and they was able to salvage his job another year? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There is no coach in the NFL who deserves to get 86 more than Jeff Fisher.
I don't,
there's a few people I'd like to see get fired from their job in America, but, including one who doesn't actually technically have his job yet. We'll leave that up to the listeners to figure out who that is. But there's actually a lot of people who are, I believe, going to take new positions around mid-January that I'd like to see lose their jobs. I don't know who they are, though. I don't have some specific names. But as far as Jeff Fisher goes, this guy, it's going to be another 7-9 or worse season. No one gets that amount of rope. And I don't root for people to lose their jobs, but there's not a lot of coaches, really, that I think are going to be fired at the end of this year. I think it's going to be a low number, but he'd certainly be my number one pick to get 86. But I'm not taking the Rams because this number's on the wrong side of 14, in my opinion. I would have this spread, even without Gronk, above two touchdowns. The Rams are a very bad team. I have them like bottom six. And the Patriots, off the close call against the Jets, usually when we see something like that from them, they kind of get together and take the opportunity to kick a guy when he's down. So I wouldn't be surprised if they blew out Jeff Fisher. If the offense can get going here for the Patriots, the Rams have no chance. Although Jared Goff showed you something last week in New Orleans.
He did. By the way, as far as rooting for anyone like the new president to lose his job in January, I would kind of agree with you. I think President Pence would be an upgrade, but that's neither here nor there. So, all right, through the rest of our slate here, almost half the games remaining. I knew I could get through that one. It's just
Mike Pence. I can't even speak aloud what I'd like to see happen to him.
6-5 Bills at the team that could snatch the number one seed away from the Patriots, the 9-2 Raiders. 4:05 Eastern time from the Oakland Coliseum on CBS. Past lounge guest Ian Eagle, along with Dan Fouts and Evan Washburn on the call. Oakland laying 3 to Buffalo here. Almost a why ask why that this line is as close as it is with the Bills. I don't know if they're getting any kind of like strange new respect from the gambling public or whatever, but to my mind, the Raiders should be laying more than this. As I say, borderline, why ask why? And I'm on the Raiders in this spot because I think they're clearly the better team.
I completely disagree with everything you've just said.
Wow.
Cannot disagree more with everything you just said. I virtually agree with everything you've said so far on this program except the part about Mike Pence, but I completely disagree with your assessment of this game. I actually think the better team is getting points. I have not had a recommendation yet in this program, and we're 30 minutes in. Well, this is number one. This is my favorite play of the week. I'm taking Buffalo. The Oakland Raiders are maybe the most overrated team in football.
Have you seen their offense?
Have you seen that they win every game close?
That's true.
Good. It's funny. I saw you weasel that in. Oh, well, here's a team that could steal the number one seed from the Patriots. I don't believe it. I think the Raiders kind of limp to a finish, to be honest with you, and the Chiefs will take this division.
not the first time I've weaseled something in, nor will it be the last. Up next,
yes,
we've got an interesting game in terms of two teams that people wondered if they were pretenders or contenders coming into the year. I think people thought that the Cardinals were contenders and that the Redskins were pretenders. Thus far, it has turned out to be the other way around here. Arizona is hosting Washington, and they are laying a point down from 2.5 initially. And as I am desperately flipping to try to find where the commentators are for this game here, a desperate, unprofessional stall for time on my part. All right, the 6-4-1 Redskins, 4-6-1 Cardinals. Interestingly enough, teams that did not play each other, and they tied other teams, separate teams, earlier this year. Dick Stockton, Chris Spielman, Christina Pink with the call on Fox, 4:25 Eastern Time from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. This is a game where I'm on Washington. I think it's just a clear case at this point of teams going in opposite directions. So I'm taking the home dog, or I'm sorry, the road dog here in this game.
Wow, here's all of a sudden we were agreeing a lot, and with the picks that I like this week, actually, we're disagreeing. I'm all on Arizona here. I think these teams are very even. Arizona at home, this line I think it's just wrong. Arizona should be at least laying the field goal for home field advantage. Things have gone wrong for them, but I'm not buying Washington yet. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying Washington. The Cardinals, I think they bounced back off a bad loss. They ran into a buzzsaw in Atlanta. Washington is not Atlanta. I'm on Arizona, second recommendation of the week.
And I'll say this. I think the Cardinals have the potential. Yeah, they have the potential. I don't think it'll happen, but I think they have the potential for a late-season run, backdoor the last playoff spot. I don't think it'll happen, but I don't rule it out.
Can I say something about that? Can I say something about that?
Sure.
Including this week, 3 weeks in a row, the Cardinals kind of played what I would term pretender teams to varying degrees. They go Redskins, Saints, and Dolphins. I absolutely think Arizona can win its next three games, but then they're going to go to Seattle and their season will be crushed.
I would agree with that. That's going to be unfortunate for them. Up next, 4:25 Eastern Time on Fox with the A-team of Buck, Aikman, and Andrews. It's the Rooney Mara special. One wonders who her and her sister Kate will be rooting for in this one, because it's the 8-3 Giants at the 6-5 Steelers, another battle of contending playoff teams. This is a game where Pittsburgh is laying 6 points, up from 5.5 initially. This is kind of a why ask why when I look at the line, because, again, I understand that the Giants, it's been sort of questionable in terms of their schedule, some of the teams that they've been bitch-slapping around a little bit here, but a little surprised they're not getting more respect from the odds makers. That's why I'm on the Steelers. This is an outright why ask why as far as not understanding the line.
This game completely mirrors what we talked about, the Saints and the Lions. As a matter of fact, I think there's a lot of comparisons to be made with the Giants and Lions. You can throw the Raiders in that discussion as well. Three teams that have benefited from winning all their close games, and with the Giants, that's a departure from last year. Look, I was on the Giants to make the playoffs this year, so I'm not surprised by the record, but they've only beaten up on one team, and that was the Browns last week, who outgained them significantly. Getting back to that Saints-Lions comparison, same thing here. I was ready to endorse the Steelers until the line move, and this was sharp money that moved in favor of the Steelers here. So, I wouldn't be surprised if this line comes back down closer to game time when the Giants will be a publicly endorsed dog here, which is the kind of underdog I don't like. It's time for them to lose, but they may very well lose close. So the Steelers are going to win this game, I do believe, but I'm not going to lay the points.
All right. Up next, a game that I cannot believe was not flexed out of Sunday night. One of the most anticipated games at the start of the season, but then the season happened and the Panthers happened, and it's the 4-7 Panthers now at the 7-3-1 Seahawks. 8:30 Eastern time from the link in Seattle on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. Seattle is laying 7 points in this one, up from 6.5 initially. Shockingly, for all that I have just said to bury the Panthers, I'm going to be on the Panthers in this one, because particularly the way that, again, some of the mouthy guys on the Seattle defense, which I realize is a redundancy, but the way that they're kind of talking and acting about this game being like a foregone conclusion, somehow or another, after suffering an embarrassing performance at Tampa Bay, I think the Seahawks may still have a little bit of humility that still needs to come their way. They're going to win this game But I get the vibe that they're kind of taking it a little bit lightly. And the Panthers, a team that, again, better than its record, even I'm not saying they deserve to be a playoff team, but they're better than 4-7, even with some of the injuries and things that have happened to them at this point. I think they can get inside of the 7, and that they will.
It's tough. The number's probably about right. Night game in Seattle. I'm certainly not going against them laying 7 or less. It's real simple with the Panthers when you examine the last two seasons. They weren't as good as their 15-1 record last year, and they're not as bad as their record this year. It's good.
Yes,
they're
perfect.
A team where the good they're a team where the regression has taken hold, as we expected. Now it's taken hold a little bit more than we expected, but they're done. They're one of the few teams, I think, in the NFC that are out of contention, and this game's going to probably be the final nail in their coffin. I think Seattle bounces back. What an egg they laid last week in Tampa Bay. Ugh.
The interesting thing is, Kyle, now that you mention that, we may look back at Carolina at the end of this season. We may look at their two-year record and say, that's about as good as you would think that they would be. Meanwhile, they're going to have a Super Bowl run in there and an extremely disappointing season. But over the course of 2 years, it should probably about even out to what their actual record should be.
Yeah, and then next year they'll probably be kind of in the middle somewhere. You know, mediocre, where they fight for a playoff berth but aren't one of the top teams.
I would already guess that's where they're going to be at next year. Two teams that would be so lucky as to be able to say that's where they're going to be next year. It's hilarious that ESPN, with their garbage Monday night schedule, can't flex out of games because they'd surely try with this one. It's the 5-6 Colts at the 3-8 Jets, 8:30 Eastern time at Life Stadium in East Rutherford on ESPN. McDonough, Gruden, Salters on the call. Indianapolis laying 1.5 on the road, up from a pick'em. Initially, Andrew Luck is coming back. That's all I need to know. The Colts are not a wildly different team when he's in there, but at least not a bad team when he's in there, as they are when he's not. The Jets are just a bad team at this point. Have no idea what they want to do on offense, a quarterback, et cetera. I'm on the Colts here.
Wow, this is funny. We kind of agree on everything except the games I'm recommending. I'm on the Jets here. I think the Colts are a very, very bad football team that should never be laying points on the road. I know the Jets aren't good either, but, I have these teams both ranked, 24th or lower. I don't have it in front of me. But the Jets are the lower-ranked team, but, when you give them some credit for home field advantage, I think they might actually should be the favorite here. According to my rankings, the Colts stink.
They do. I mean, I'm not arguing that they're a good team, but I think having Luck back in a must-win situation against a bad team, it's the confluence of those factors that are making me go on them. But certainly not strong enough for me to make it a big three play. And speaking of which, we're on to my big three, the first of which is a game where the 7-4 Broncos are at the 2-9 Jags, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Everbank Field in Jacksonville on CBS. Spiro Dita, Solomon Wilcots on this one. Denver is laying 3.5 points, down from 4.5 initially. And again, even in a situation, you get to December, maybe not everybody is as healthy as you'd like them to be on both sides of the ball, notwithstanding that. And I understand that, again, somewhat of a short week for the Broncos with a 75-minute game aforementioned on Sunday night. This is almost a why ask why for me to go the other way in terms of the line. And I understand that some of it is the OMG, got to build the 3 points for the home team into it. But I'm on the Broncos. The Jags are a team that I pimped at the beginning of the year embarrassingly. And I am just going to go against them brutally in this spot here. Denver to roll.
Just so you're aware, Paxton Lynch is starting here for the Broncos.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's where, that's what I said, injuries, that's sort of what I was alluding to, is that you've got kind of a situation here. I'll take Paxton Lynch even in a spot like this one here. Haven't seen a lot from him and to be able to make a decision either way thus far, but this has been a year where rookie quarterbacks have not necessarily been somebody to pull you way down. And it's not like I regard the Trevor Siemian baseline as being up with Aaron Rodgers. So I hear you on that. That's a good point. I just don't think it should account for that big of a line drop.
I actually agree with what you've just said there, believe it or not. This line is, I always like a home dog, and Jacksonville certainly underachieved. I think whoever the next head coach is for him, because if there's another guy who's probably going to get fired besides Jeff Fisher, it's Gus Bradley, is going to inherit kind of a good situation here in Jacksonville. This is a team that should be better. They've outgained some opponents and found ways to lose with turnovers and giving up non-offensive touchdowns, but this spread should be higher. I mean, Denver's still one of the better teams in the league. Jacksonville, is one of the worst teams in the league. So I can't endorse Jacksonville at the current price, especially with the number coming down, because I agree with what you said. I don't think the drop-off from Simeon to Lynch is, you know, worth a hoot, quite frankly. By the way, Denver with this game and Tennessee back-to-back road games, I do think they're going to drop one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver's schedule's really hard down the stretch. Don't be surprised if the Broncos miss the playoffs. Wow.
All right, there's a last week's prediction here.
Because of Kubiak's gamble last week.
Okay. All right, two games left here. Scant time, 7-4 Dolphins, 6-5 Ravens. M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore on CBS. Harlan, Gannon, Fisher on the call. This is a game where Baltimore is laying 3.5 up from 3 initially. Miami's another one of these teams where, again, I think it's due to go the other way. Ravens, as stout as they've been against the run, it's going to put a lot of pressure on this offense if Ajayi continues to be a little bit slower as he has the last couple of weeks relative to that big burst that he had earlier. I'm on Baltimore for the second of my plays.
I don't want to lay points, but Miami, we've used this word before on the show in the course of the season, bubble. Their bubble, I think, is about to burst moving forward.
I think so as well. I believe that. Up next for my 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for NFL Week 13. I've been going with the methodology in recent weeks of the game I have the loosest handle on, and that would be this one, the 6-5 Bucks at the 5-6 Chargers, two borderline contention teams, really probably not in the case of the Chargers, although if they rally, who knows. 4:25 Eastern Time, Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego on Fox. Past lounge guest Sam Rosen, along with David Deal and the yummy Holly Saunders on the call. This is a game where San Diego is laying 3.5 points, down from 4.5 initially. I'm on Tampa Bay. They feel like a team where the bubble's about to burst, quite frankly. They've been kind of they've having to do a lot of travel in recent weeks here.
But
this is a spot where, I feel like it could kind of be a letdown for the Chargers, quite frankly, coming off of that win against Houston. I just have a feeling here that the Bucs aren't done yet. They're legit as far as especially how the defense has played in recent weeks. At the very least, I think they're getting inside of the 3.5. Bucs are my lock.
I agreed with you on every game this week except the 4 I'm recommending. I like San Diego in this game. They're a much better team than its record. I think this spread should be I'm normally scared of the hook, closer to 7. You talk about letdowns. What about Tampa Bay coming off a game against Seattle? We talk about the car crash effect Seattle could have on you. Tampa Bay, I don't think is very good, quite frankly. They're not a top 20 team in this league. No.
Seattle and Kansas City are both top 5 teams. You don't think so after what they did to them?
I do not have actually either the Seahawks or Chiefs in my top 5. So, I have them in my top 10. I have them in my top 10 right now. But, I think they were just kind of fluky games that just happened in the course of the season. I don't have Tampa Bay as a top 20 team in this league.
Okay. All right. So your 4 plays for the week are San Diego, Arizona, the Jets, and Buffalo. I am on for my big 3, Denver, Baltimore, and my lock pick of Tampa Bay. Miraculously, we made it through the entire slate of games here, albeit right down to the wire. Go drive home, Kyle. You deserve it after another great show today.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Everybody, we'll catch you next week. The FDH Lounge, NFL Week 14.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBC. TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.